May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 671. How shall I come to thee, O God, who holy art, and cannot evil see, but with a loathing heart? I am defiled throughout by sin, and by my very birth unclean. Hymn 671.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Word of God, from the Gospel according to John chapter 21. Reading together from the Gospel according to John and chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up, and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us, teach us how to pray and what to pray for. O Lord, our God, do help us to call upon thy great, thy holy name. Pray that our prayers may come from thy presence, indicted by thy Spirit, and that thou wilt be pleased to be unto us prayer hearing and prayer answering. O Lord, we come before thee, and we've been blessed and favoured in thy providence to bring us through the scenes of the days of the week that is now past. It is only, Lord, according to thy providence, and according to thy care and keeping towards us, and that also we would remember that the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be for ever. O Lord, thou knowest the days that thou hast given to us each upon this earth, and we thank thee, Lord, for the days in the past week. Lord, we have much to confess and to repent of in and through those days of the week that is now past. O Lord, our sad departings from thee, and Lord, how poor we are, betimes we confess in spirit to be able to turn to thee, seem betimes overtaken with much of time and sense. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt pardon and forgive, and particularly, Lord, newly contracted sins. O Lord, we do pray and thank thee that thou hast brought us, like unto thy servant Job, to abhor ourselves, to repent in dust and ashes. That sin, O Lord, is that indeed towards us that is an abomination, as it is unto thee. Thou hast brought us through thy grace to hate sin, and we hate our own sins, Lord. But we thank thee, Lord, for the fountain of thy precious blood. We thank thee for thy precious word, that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And thou knowest, Lord, that we would not sin because of that most blessed and glorious truth, knowing that thou wilt forgive sin. It will be, Lord, upon and towards those who are brought with a contrite heart to confess and repent of their sins. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, be pleased, Lord, to draw our hearts away from all things else beside at this time, we pray thee, Lord, but unto thyself. O Lord, may our worship and our devotion to thee at this time be in a most singular way, each one of us, that we may each know thee in a personal way, in thy love and grace and mercy, and in particular, Lord, that it is thou that in thy providence hast brought us each to this day, that thou hast watched over us and preserved us by and through thy providence. But, O Lord, we do thank thee that thou hast brought us to this another day, the Lord's Day. May we each be found in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to bless us with thy presence and the anointing of thy Spirit upon us. And pray, Lord, that we may be drawn to thee in faith and love and worship thy great and holy name. And that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to come and visit each soul in thy salvation. That thou wilt again make manifest thyself to us in thy love, in thy word, thy truth and gospel. O Lord, we do pray that our souls truly may enter into a time and season of rest and peace in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we seek to come to thy feet and to partake of thee. O Lord, thou seest each of our hearts, thou knowest our hearts, nothing is hidden from thee. O Lord, we do pray that we each may be found before thee with true and living desires for the worship of thy name, desires, Lord, for the glory of thy name, and a desire for thyself, Lord, to appear to each one of us, to reveal and manifest again thy love to us. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be pleased to come to each case and to each need as it may arise at this time. Many are the needs and the cases, differing are the conditions of thy people. But Lord, we do pray that each one of us, humbly before thee and in the pews of thy house, have offered up to thee our case and our need at this time. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to hear each and every one, we pray thee, each and every seeking soul, and that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to show thyself in thy rich mercy and answer those prayers and petitions, if it will be thy will. And we do pray, Lord, that our time spent together may be a good time and a profitable time, that our hearts indeed may be lifted up unto thee in praise, honour and glory to thy name, that our souls may be enriched in the word and truth of thy gospel. And Lord, it is true that if thou wilt be pleased to come and speak to any one of us by thy word, then how rich we are indeed, Lord. We read in thy word that in the days of young Samuel, that the word of the Lord was precious in those days. O Lord, we do pray that thy word may be made precious to our poor souls this day, we pray thee, and a precious Christ may be revealed in all the blessedness of the gospel, and in particular, Lord, as salvation is preached, the good news that is held out to guilty, ruined sinners, and in particular, Lord, of those, Lord, that we have sung of in our first hymn, in the very solemn state and condition that we are in by nature. But Lord, oh, to have it revealed and to made known to us through thy Spirit and power will be our great mercy. For then, Lord, we do believe that thou wilt indeed begin that work of grace to reveal and manifest thyself, to be that only one, that free gift of our God, unspeakable gift, to put away and wash away all sin and all defilement. And that real malady of sin, or that being known and felt, may be truly washed away by and through the precious remedy that has been given to us of God the Father. O Lord, who offered his only and dearly beloved Son to be a sacrifice for the sins and the iniquities of his church and people. O Lord, our poor minds cannot come into such wondrous and glorious truth, the giving of thine only dearly beloved Son. This is my dearly beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But oh, to give thy Son for our sins, O Lord, that love we cannot fully comprehend. But O Lord, if we can but come into the measure of that love and know the pardon and forgiveness of our sins, then we may understand a little, O Lord, of that love that God the Father held out towards us in the gift of his dearly beloved Son. O Lord, we do pray that each one of us here, the eldest down to the youngest, may be brought into some measure of that love, such great love. We have read of this love, Lord, in the reading together. And Lord, oh, we do pray and thank thee that thou did show thy love to sinners, and that what a mercy it is if sinners can also show their love to thee. We do believe that it will come through the cross where thou didst suffer, bleed, and die for us. But we do pray, Lord, that each one here may indeed be blessed with some application and some blessing and some token of thy dying love at Calvary for sinners. Oh, this we pray for, Lord, earnestly, that thou wilt be pleased to appear and show thyself in thy almighty power, able to change hearts and renew sinners and wash away their sins forever through Calvary's blood. O Lord, we do pray, keep our hearts and our minds stayed upon thee as we seek to worship at thy feet. Be pleased to enlarge our souls upon the blessedness of thy person, thy merits, all that thou didst come to do for sinners in the Gospels, Lord, and in particular going forth then to Gethsemane, then to Calvary, but then also a risen Saviour, and then ascended unto heaven and to the right hand of the Father, now to intercede, now to come to all the help and the need of thy people, now to come and to support and strengthen them, now to rule and to reign over them in their hearts and lives, now to manage for them in all their concerns and affairs here below. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we may know something of this great mercy. And, Lord, we do pray, be that one then to be in our very hearts, in our lives, in everything that we're about, Lord, in all our concerns, our cares, in all our troubles and needs. Be that one, Lord, to come and appear for us and be with us, to uphold us and to keep us, and help us to go forth in thy name, we pray thee. We do pray, Lord, for all of thy sent servants this day, every one of them, whom thou hast sent forth into the gospel ministry, heavenly and divinely appointed, to preach thine everlasting gospel. Be with each and every one this day. Give journeying mercies to the particular means of grace, and be pleased to use them instrumentally in thy hands to the good and edifying and building up of Zion, to come to the deep needs of thy people, Lord, those that wait upon thee, Lord, those that come, Lord, seeking, Lord, some further token of love, seeking, Lord, that thou wilt come to all their help and need, to support and strengthen them inwardly and spiritually in their souls. And, O Lord, to be that one that thou wilt be pleased to come to each and every one. Thy people are poor and needy in and of themselves. They know their own weakness and insufficiency. Grace has taught them. Sin has laid them low. But, O Lord, we do pray, come, bless thy people with a little lifting up, Lord, above their troubles, trials and difficulties here below. And pray that through the word thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to strengthen them. Strengthen Zion, Lord, the weak hands and the feeble knees, we pray thee. And we do pray, Lord, for each of thy ministers, Lord, who are found oft in sickness and infirmities. And in sickness, yes, Lord, we do pray, give recovering mercies. And those, Lord, in age, and finding it more difficult now to continue in the work and yet continuing, be their helper, Lord, and give them some measure of renewed health and strength naturally to go forth to the preaching of the gospel. Oh, Lord, we particularly pray for Matthew Hyden, prayerfully commit him into thy hands and all the things that concern him. O Lord, be pleased, Lord, to appear for him. Restore him, Lord, and bring him back, Lord, into the ministry of the word, if it will be thy will, Lord. But we ask thy mercy upon him. And so all of thy sent servants, we value them, Lord. They are gifts to thy people, and they belong to thy people. And truly, Lord, they are not ourselves, but belong to thy people. So, Lord, we do pray, appear for them. And we pray, Lord, this day, watch over each one of us. Be with us in all our way and path. Keep us close to thee. Rule and reign for us, Lord. We pray for thy church and people here, Lord, that gather together week by week in thy name, and the precious gospel is preached. O Lord, be to the comfort of Zion. Come to the needs of each and every one. And may there be, Lord, those added to this church, we pray thee, whom thou art pleased, Lord, to give a believing faith in the Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to come to each and every one here, that they might know that mercy, a believing faith in Jesus, looking only unto him, and in whom is the forgiveness of sins. We pray thee, Lord. And we pray, Lord, be with those, David, Benji, and those that manage the affairs and the concerns of this church, and those who are the members, Lord. O Lord, that wait upon thee, be pleased to be with them. May the stranger without be gathered in. Thou knowest the number of thy people. Thou knowest where they are, Lord. And if they are found, Lord, in the streets round about this house, O Lord, be pleased to gather them in. We pray thee that they also might know what it is to know that glorious change so needful to the soul, that change wrought within by thy Spirit and power, that change, Lord, which is able to raise the sinner from death to life, from Satan to God. O Lord, we do pray, gather them in, we pray thee, Lord. Be pleased now to be with us, Lord, be with thy servant and be with thy people. Show thy servant what to say and what to speak in thy name. And be pleased, Lord, to teach him, lead him into thy truth. Pray that the word may be good and seasonable for each one of us, and that thy name shall have the glory and the praise. And we ask these mercies in and through that all-precious name, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 1069. See, Lord, before thy throne of grace, a wretched wanderer mourn. Thyself hast bid me seek thy face, thyself hast said, return. Hymn 1069.
Seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the Gospel according to John chapter 21, and by way of a text reading the last clause of verse 22. Gospel according to John chapter 21, reading by way of a text from the last clause in verse 22. Follow thou me. follow thou me. We have in this last chapter of the Gospel of John the wonderful truth of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ before his ascension into heaven. He did come to his disciples who were to become apostles, to be sent forth into the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he did visit them, and he did show to them again his power, and that he was that one indeed. Now, if we read the words of our text, Jesus said, "If I will that he tarry till I come, if I will," we have Jesus now. All power has been given into his hands. If I will, before he went forth to the cross, dear friends, it was his heavenly Father's will that Jesus came to do. On every part and every part and aspect of his life here below, it was the will of his heavenly Father. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And now all power has been given into his hand, and he is able here now, if I will, that he tarry till I come. I'll just speak of that in a moment before we come into the words of our text. But Jesus does visit them, and he does show them his power again, and particularly casting the net on the right hand of the ship, and where Jesus now, as God, he was able, dear friends, to appear and to show them his almighty power. And what a mercy it is when the Lord Jesus will come to his dear people, show them again and again his almighty power. And think of the wonderful truth of that, that he is able to deliver, he is able to save. Oh, this is the wonderful truth. Is there anything that the Lord cannot do? You see, cast the net on the right side. Oh, and they secured more fishes than they could have ever dreamt of, dear friends. Surely the words would have been, "Is not this the Christ?" Truly it was. Well, he does come in his power. Is the rich mercy. And I want to speak of this power, because if we are those that will follow the Lord, it will be the greatest blessing that any poor man or woman can ever hear and receive. Because if we're not following the Lord, if we do not follow the Lord, who are we following, dear friends? Who are we following? It can only be he, dear friends, who is the adversary of souls. He that dwells in us by our very nature and birth into this world. And we saw that in our first hymn, the terrible state and condition that we are in by nature. What a mercy it is to have our eyes opened by and through the gospel light in shining and revealing and manifesting the solemn truth of our sins and iniquities. What a mercy it is. There will begin a change, a divine change wrought in the soul. But I didn't want to pass by, dear friends, this truth of the Lord showing again his love to Peter. And you might say, well, he was asking Peter to show his love to him. Dear friends, the Lord was showing his love to Peter. It seems that Peter, yes, had denied him thrice. And it was a very solemn experience that Peter was brought to pass through, but it was a needful experience. Peter had to be brought low and kept low and humble. And this is one of the reasons of following the Lord Jesus, to be like him. But I'll speak of that in a moment. You see, Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me 3 times? You see, the Lord always did love him, didn't he? But now he is drawing the thoughts and the desires and the affections of Peter to him. You know, the Lord did know and read his heart. He did know that Peter loved him, and he truly did love his Lord. And we may think sometimes when Peter seemed to rebuke the Lord, and particularly that time and season when the Lord spake and showed to his disciples again that he should be taken by those wicked hands, killed and slain, and on the third day would be buried and rise again on the third day. Peter said, "It shall not be so with thee, Lord." You see, there was a sort of a love there for the Lord, although it was one that spake out against him, because Jesus had to come and to fulfill all prophecy concerning himself, the sacrifices and offerings and so forth. And you see, he rebuked him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You know, Jesus still loved him. Isn't that the wonderful truth and mercy of our Lord? How many times, dear friends, have we offended against the Lord? How many times, dear friends, have we been those that maybe have turned our back upon him, denied him? Yes, denying him means this, disowning him. That is what the word means, disowning him. Well, how many times have we done something without the Lord? How many times have we gone about those things, dear friends, where we needed the Lord to lead us and to guide us, and yet we've gone without him? David, poor David, did when he was king over Israel, very solemnly. And he denied, just as if he denied him. And it means he did deny him. Peter did deny him. And it means as though he never knew him. Disowned him. That is how he denied him. But what a wonderful mercy. The compassions and the pity of the Lord is unchanging love to his people. Unchanging, dear friends. It's consistent with his faithfulness and his righteousness and his justice, dear friends, is his love to his people. It's unalterable, unchanging, always remains the same. But how many times have we denied him? How many times has some trouble come into our lives in a moment, as it were, and we've turned this way and that way and the other way, dear friends? We've denied the Lord. You see, and our first instance is to come to the Lord, because he's the only one that can do anything for us in our troubles. Yes, Peter loved him. What a mercy it is, dear friends, that his love remains the same towards us. It's an everlasting love. And having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end, is the wonderful truth. But I just say that in passing, because it's a wondrous truth, isn't it? That Peter so denied him. And yes, he feared, I think, for his life, truly. But the Lord is able to recover and is able to bring us back. It was a good teaching. It was a good affliction that Peter was brought to pass through. It brought him nearer to Jesus, nearer to Jesus, more like him. That is what we want, isn't it? Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." We're not to inquire into the path of others, dear friends. No, we're not. The Lord is dealing with each one of his people in a very real and personal way, and he will. And it is the Lord's way, it is his path. And remember that it has been ordained even before time began. The Lord Jesus He is that one that will manage in a very real and personal way for every one of us. This shows to us how very personal real religion is. And it is, dear friends. There may be those things that we come into trouble together, perhaps as a family or so forth. But when the word here is that we're not to inquire as to another man's what will he be doing, and how will the Lord deal with him? Jesus said, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" He wanted to know the path of John. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" This man is in the hands of Jesus, just as Peter was. We're not to inquire, dear friends. "If I will that he tarry till I come," it isn't fully and clear in the absolution of the word here what Jesus meant by "if I will that he tarry till I come," till I come, you see. It cannot be that he would live until the second coming of the Lord Jesus, you see. It cannot be, because John explains that, "Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die." You see, that was the thought. But yet Jesus said not unto him, "He shall not die." So it's very difficult to know what this is, "if I will that he tarry till I come." Well, there's one wonderful truth in respect till I come. The Lord is going to come to every one of us at some time. And he is, dear friends, going to take us to himself. He is coming the second time, yes. That's something that we should always look to. Should always wait upon him in respect of that. But what is it really means, I think, this: that if I will that he tarry till I come, if I will, only if I will, what is that to thee? It's the Lord's will, and it's his business, not Peter's. That's how I see it. It's the Lord's will. "Till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." This is probably the fourth time that the Lord spake this word to Peter, "Follow thou me." It is an important truth of every one of us that we should follow the Lord, that we should be those, dear friends, that know what it is to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and to follow him. It is one of the most essential and needful truths of the gospel. But I want to just speak of this, "follow thou me," because there must be, dear friends, a time and a season when there will be a coming and a drawing, you see, to be able to follow. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Oh, there is first then, dear friends, to hear his voice, a coming. And it is Jesus that draws the chosen race by his sweet, resistless grace. Dear friends, the work of grace is given into the hands of Jesus. All things have been given into his hands. You see, if I will. And this work of grace is with Jesus. But I was just thinking as this truth. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Dear friends, they were those then that straightway they left their nets and followed him. It was the call, wasn't it? A call. Follow thou me. They were called to it. And dear friends, this is such an important truth, to know this calling by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the Lord that will begin the gracious work of grace in and upon the soul of a sinner. There must be a calling from the Lord Jesus, that change that is to be wrought within the soul is the most important truth. But Jesus will come to everyone whom his heavenly Father gave to him. He says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. Peter and Andrew heard his voice. Dear friends, have we heard the voice of the Lord Jesus in his gospel? This good news of salvation, preach and proclaim the joyful sound, dear friends, the good news of salvation is the truth, isn't it? And how that they followed the Lord Jesus. And then there's another following of the Lord Jesus. And that will be when the Lord Jesus, if I can just, I was just thinking of another word where the Lord Jesus appeared unto them. And in John chapter 13, and it says, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And, dear friends, it is a following after the Lord. You know, the Lord Jesus, he was going to go forth to Calvary to suffer, bleed and die for Peter and all of his church and people. And this is the wonderful time where the fulfillment of prophecy and where the faith of the Old Testament saints were fixed in Jesus as being the sacrifice for their sins and iniquities. And Jesus was going to come forth and he was going to show himself the faithful and the true witness. Oh, he's going to give himself to be a sacrifice for the sins and the iniquities of his people, every one of them, is the wonderful truth. And so we have this truth here. He said, thou canst not follow me now. Oh, the great work of salvation and redemption was before the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a truth here, you see. Whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. Dear friends, he was going to go forth to the cross for Peter, you see, and for all of his church and people, from the beginning of time to the end of time. Oh, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. You see, they will all come to him, is the truth. If Jesus says, follow thou me, there is a coming. There will be a coming. Jesus called Peter and Andrew, and they came, dear friends, they followed. Jesus is going forth to the cross. And when we think of the first hymn that we read together, it was such an impression upon me in respect of this word here, because it says here, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. It's such an important truth. Jesus was going forth, dear friends, to fulfill all prophecy, to fulfill his heavenly Father's will, and to lay down his life for his sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And Peter was one of them. But dear friends, where are we? Where are we, dear friends? And in particular, as we consider the first hymn, you see where we are by nature, the awful sense of our depravity and the evil of our hearts, where we are born into this world, you see, we're sinners. And dear friends, we're estranged from God. We've got the Adam nature, and it's an awful sinful nature. The very solemn truth of that. But you see, it was here that Jesus was going forth to Calvary for such a sinner as that in our first hymn. Oh, were we brought, dear friends, to some knowledge of that, as the Spirit of the Lord has shown to us and revealed to us the solemn sense of our sins and iniquities, you see, of our minds, dear friends, being brought enlightened to the solemn truth of our sins, they will render us guilty before a holy and a righteous God. They will lay us low, dear friends. The mercy is this, that the Lord Jesus went forth to Calvary to suffer, bleed and die for Peter and for the whole church. He must first go, and then there will be a following, is the truth. Jesus said that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. There will be a coming, then there will be a following, you see. And those that are burdened and heavy laden in respect of their sins and iniquities, Jesus speaks a word in season to such a soul as that. And this word here must be an encouragement to any poor soul that has been brought to feel their need. You see, follow thou me. It will be Jesus and him alone, dear friends, if sin has been rendered us guilty in our consciences before a holy and a righteous God. It will be Jesus only. And Jesus has spoken a precious word to such. All ye that labour and are heavy laden, come unto me, he says. Come unto me. Bring all the burden of thy sin, all the wickedness of thy heart, all thy devilish activity in thy life, all the evil and wretchedness that thou hast committed. Jesus, oh, what a word this is. Come unto me. And come unto me, you see, to the cross. It is there, dear friends, that all thy wicked life has been dealt with and put away forever. Is the wonderful truth. But I believe that they're such wonderful words. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. It's the Spirit of God that has taught us our sins, that has brought us to be burdened and heavy laden with our sins, you see. But Jesus will never leave a soul in such a place, dear friends, as to be left. No. It's unto such, come unto me, come unto me. Show me all the burden of thy sin. I'll show thee my sufferings and my death at Calvary to put away all thy sin. Oh, what a wondrous invitation it is. It is to the guilty one, to the ruined one. Come unto me, and here alone at the cross, of Christ, of cross at Calvary, is the pardon and forgiveness. It's the healing balm of Christ's precious blood that doth for sin atone. Oh, its cleansing and healing virtue and power is able, dear friends, to wash away all the sins and the iniquities of his people. And it is able, dear friends, to remove all guilt and defilement. It is able to bring the church, dear friends, into a day where they shall be able to go on their way rejoicing as the Ethiopian eunuch, set free in and through the liberty of the gospel, set free from our sins and iniquities, set free from Satan, dear friends, set free from the world, set free from all its carking cares, set free from all its pleasure and its vanity, set free, dear friends. And then there will be this truth: follow thou me. Wonderful word, dear friends, follow thou me. It will be a life then to live upon Christ, to live upon his mercy, to live upon his care and his keeping and preservation. And another wonderful truth will be this: come follow thou me. We will be following the Lord Jesus. And Jesus, dear friends, is that one who is our exemplar, how that we should follow him, how that we should serve him, how that we should glorify him here below upon the earth. And one of the truths of this will be here: follow thou me. We will be seeking, we will be praying and seeking continually for that same nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be like him. I know, dear friends, it will not be in the perfection of it, but it's in this 13th chapter of John, as we already spoken from it. But Jesus, he was one that washed the disciples' feet, took a towel, cleaned them, and he did so all his disciples. And then he was going to teach them humbleness and humility and that care and love for one another. And this is such a great and an important part of our lives if we're following Jesus. Oh, it is, dear friends. And Jesus said, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do so as I have done to you. And, dear friends, to pray for this nature. We will need to know this nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will need to know and the experience, the graces, dear friends, of his Spirit in and upon us, to help us to continue. It wasn't going to be a pleasant path and a smooth path and a comfortable path for Peter when the Lord said, follow thou me. It was never going to be a comfortable path, and it will not be a comfortable path for the Lord's dear people at all. No. But oh, to know this nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. See how he was reviled and reviled not again. You see, we will need that humble, contrite spirit, and we will need his love in our hearts, dear friends, to hold us to him. We will pass through experiences and troubles, dear friends, and disappointments here below. But never, 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 dear friends, let us lose sight of this very nature that is needful to the Lord's dear people. The nature that the Lord Jesus is showing here, to be like him. He says, follow thou me. And Peter needed this nature. Peter was one that was so bold and boisterous at times, you know, and self-confident. That isn't any good, dear friends, not at all. No, it's being in submission to the Lord. And Peter was going to go forth, dear friends, in the preaching of the gospel, and he would need to know this humble submission to his Lord. He was one, dear friends, that was taken, you see, and cast into prison several times, you see, and he was one, dear friends, where he was reproached and persecuted, you see. Well, we shall need to follow the Lord Jesus. Follow thou me. Look at the example of Jesus. Oh, may the Lord help us to follow him and be like him, you see. Yes, many things, dear friends, may come in and upon us. And dear friends, we shall need the Lord, that humble, meek spirit of the Lord, the spirit of the meek and the lowly dove, to continue. Yes, is the truth. follow thou me. And then it will be another path where the Lord Jesus is a perfect exemplar to his people, to be a praying people. Follow thou me. Oh, was the one here, dear friends, is there any that prayed like unto the Lord Jesus Christ? That men ought always to pray and not to faint, he saith. And may we know what it is to be a praying people. Oh, the Lord is that one, dear friends, who prayed for his church and people all night in the mountains, dear friends. He called upon the name of his heavenly Father in respect of the work that he should come to do and that salvation that he should provide for them. And he spoke of this, of every one of his dear people. Oh, can we understand the prayers of the dear Lord Jesus, particularly when he knew the name of every one of us and brought them before his heavenly Father. See it in the 17th of John. I believe that was the likeness and the manner of the prayers of the dear Lord Jesus. Well, he spoke for every one of his people, every one he knew. What a mercy, you see. And follow thou me. Oh, may we know this glorious branch of true worship, even prayer, unto the Lord, you see, calling upon his name in the time of all our need and concerns here below. Calling upon him, you see, because the throne of grace, we will be living at the throne of grace. Oh, it will have and possess such a great part of our lives, you know, prayer and supplication before the Lord because of our great need, you see, and because of our own state and condition. We are the poor and the helpless and the needy of his people. But the Lord will not despise the prayer of the destitute. He will regard the prayer, dear friends, of his poor people here below. And only he knows and understands their case and their need. But oh, to be praying people, follow thou me. And this means, dear friends, everything that concerns us, everything, commit to the Lord. Our morning and evening prayers, let us not forget those, dear friends. Let us begin our days with the Lord. We're in his hands, you see. And to begin our days with him by prayer and supplication, pleading his mercies for another day, pleading his help, you see, and also the promises of the Lord. Plead his promises that as thy days, so shall thy strength be, not just naturally, but spiritually. You see, it is only the Lord that can bear us up and strengthen us inwardly and spiritually in the way and path that we shall be led to go. Oh, follow thou me. And let us not forget the prayers, dear friends, in the ordinances of his house as we come together and meet around his word. Prayer. This is the Lord's house of prayer. And let us not neglect the prayer meetings. Many do, dear friends, but they're the most important meetings, you know. The prayer meetings. Yes, it's the prayers of the saints up unto their God. Never neglect the prayer meetings, dear friends. I go to one or two chapels when I've been on holiday, and the ministers have said it's very sad that the church and the chapel is well known for regular visitors. But some of them ministers have said to me, it's very sad, you know, they come on holiday and they think they've got to take a holiday from prayer. Well, that is how we saw it. Well, dear friends, let us not neglect the Lord's house wherever we are, you see. Let us seek the Lord. Follow thou me. All our great needs all our helplessness, all our insufficiency, we will need the throne of grace to bring us through our course here below. Follow thou me. And then also let us see and behold another truth in respect of follow thou me. I just thought of Peter was going to go forth and to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so he did. And it was a wonderful truth, those 3,000 at the day of Pentecost. Remember that they were those, dear friends, who heard the call. Or they were those, dear friends, who were coming sinners now to the Lord. And then they were going to follow on to know the Lord. We have the truth here shown to us. And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. They had been brought to see their sins and iniquities. Repent and therefore be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. This is a following of the Lord, isn't it? Follow thou me. Jesus was baptized. It isn't that he needed to be baptized, for that he was not a sinner, but he was giving us, dear friends, the permission of heaven. He was showing to us, dear friends, that it's heaven's will that those that have been brought to know and to feel their sin confessed and repented and that were baptized, their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, their faith in that it was found in their room and place at Calvary, their place, dear friends, that they should come forth and pass through the waters of baptism. Follow thou me is an important truth, you see, and for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, follow thou me is the truth here. You know, they were those that were brought to see, and Peter, because this was the commission that the Lord gave unto Peter and to the other disciples. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Here, and I believe that it was Peter then that instructed them how that they should dwell together in unity, in the bonds of love and peace, and also how that they should be those, dear friends, that should be, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And then this is something else, dear friends. Let us follow Jesus in doctrine and in truth. Let us follow him in the scriptures. You know, these scriptures is the most precious book, you see, because it is here that the Lord has instructed and shown to us the way of salvation, the way of life, but he has also instructed and shown the way of death. Dear friends, let us seek the Lord that we might know him in the way of life and salvation for sinners. And then how that we should conduct ourselves and by our faith live upon his word, his truth, and his gospel is the wonderful truth. And it's the very conduct and the manner of our lives that we live here below. It is all shown to us here, dear friends, how that we should walk before him and serve him and honour him, seeking to follow him in his commandments and his word concerning us. And you see, in doctrine, the doctrines of the gospel, dear friends, let us embrace them. The blessedness, dear friends, of these doctrines, follow thou me. It is only if we embrace these doctrines, when the Lord will be pleased to call us by his grace, all the doctrines that belong to us in the gospel, they will all be made precious to our souls. The doctrine, dear friends, of the covenant of grace, Father, Son, and Spirit. We will need Father, Son, and Spirit in our hearts and in our lives all our journey through. Make no mistake about that. A Father's heavenly love revealed and manifested to us through the second and glorious person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that love made known to us through the Spirit of the Lord. We will, Father, Son, and Spirit, will and must be in every part of our lives here below. It's the most glorious doctrinal truth of the gospel, dear friends, because in the covenant of grace is secured the lives of every one of us. Not one of the Lord's dear people, dear friend, they will all be sought out and found. Not one of them shall ever be lost, dear friends, or perish. And oh, it's the whole manner of our lives have been predetermined in the covenant of grace. And dear friends, let us hold fast to Jesus, because he is the one thing needful in every manner of our lives, in his incarnation into this world, to be like unto his brethren, to suffer, bleed, and die for them, to give them salvation and redemption, the forgiveness of sins, doctrinal truths, then to stand whole and just and complete in a righteousness that he has provided for us, justified before God the Father, and an entrance into heaven, dear friends. Let us lay hold of this doctrine. Nothing of the flesh here, that's the important truth, isn't it, today? Nothing of the flesh. It's everything that has been blessed to us through Jesus and the gospel. And then this truth the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, this union and this fellowship, this is a glorious truth of the gospel, how that they're all joined together and come together as one body. And Christ, the head of the church, the representative of his church and people, but the body are all one. They're all gathered together in love. And I mentioned this love of Peter to the Lord. It's all in love, dear friends. We're all bound together. We're all those lively and living stones that are raised up and built into that temple of God which is being raised up today. And the cement that binds us together is love. Let this be our great blessing, dear friends, to know how this fellowship, one with each other, the breaking of bread, dear friends, all being well, if the Lord will, we shall be breaking bread this evening, and follow thou me. And Peter was following the Lord. I believe that Peter instructed them here. There was only he to do it. Well, there was Peter and John, you see. But you see, follow thou me. And Peter is the teacher. Oh, may this word be for each one of us as well. The breaking of bread, dear friends, in remembrance of a suffering Christ upon the cross at Calvary. I've got another text that will bring us into the truth of some of these blessings. But then, I just have to finish a little early if I can. It will be a path of trial and affliction and troubles here below. But dear friends, let us be in submission to the Lord Jesus in respect of these things. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Follow thou me. Dear friends, every affliction and every trouble and every trial has been divinely appointed for us. Oh, they've come from heaven, dear friends. Let us never murmur. Let us never complain. Dear friends, we'll be complaining against the Lord. But let us be those resigned to his holy and his sovereign will. The church were persecuted in a very great way. The scattered strangers, they were really persecuted, fled from their homes and so forth. But let us not murmur or complain. You know, it will be to the trying of our faith, but it shall come forth as gold. Let us wait upon the Lord, indeed. And then to follow him, be submissive to him. And we will need to know that grace of patience, dear friends. Waiting upon the Lord, waiting upon his mercy, you see. And it is he, dear friends, that will bring us through our cause. It is he that will be our helper to lead us forth, dear friends, through our troubles and our trials and difficulties here below. There's a wonderful truth. I just must just mention it because it, what David spoke in the Psalms, it belongs to every one of us. But I just think of this truth as it comes upon my mind. He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Oh, to have Jesus, to be with his people in every step of the way. I will lead thee, I will teach thee, I will guide thee. Could we have such a shepherd as this, dear friends, to go before us, to show us the way and help us to be submissive to him? Oh, wonderful truth, dear friends. May we seek and pray for grace that the Lord Jesus may help us to continue. I just close on this point because I do have a further text this evening related to these truths, so it isn't that anything shall be missed out in respect of us. But the Lord informed Peter of that death that he should suffer. And it was a solemn truth. But here Peter was reconciled to it. He spoke of it in his epistle. And he said to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. And Peter followed him, dear friends, in that death, you see. And it was going to be an awful death. It was going to be a crucifixion. You see, it was going to be a violent death. But, you know, Peter didn't seek to flee from it, you know. Is the wonderful mercy, oh, what grace we need in our hearts. Follow thou me, he said. So four times the Lord said to Peter, follow thou me. May the Lord help us to follow him in every part and aspect of our lives here below. Follow thou me. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £780, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Ince will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. There'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Izzard. And Mr. James Pack hopes to preach for us on Tuesday evening. And God willing, Mr. Richard Field will preach next Lord's Day. And the collections next Lord's Day will be for the Christian Institute. Let us close with hymn 392. How oft, alas, this wretched heart has wandered from the Lord. How oft my roving thoughts depart, forgetful of his word. Hymn 392.
Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.